I would love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband, and something's happened. You know, one of them is I got a postcard Saturday from Dorothy Jane, my wife. I just had a long and delightful visit from Chris. It would have been better if it included our wives. I love you, I love you, I love you, your man. This was from around Christmas, you know. And then another one from George. 1 billion jumbo jacks is a big deal. Big underlined. Plan to do it with me at Big Frog Mountain. Join me, please. Love, Dad. Well, guess what? A third card to George. It is my hope to be at the top of Big Frog Mountain on December 8th, 2023, to do my 1 millionth jumbo jack. Join me, please. Love, Dad. Well, what a way to celebrate a Saturday. But what a way to celebrate a Saturday. Wow. Wow and a half. I had a delightful call. Was it Friday? With my friend in Utah. It was very, very encouraging. You know, especially, you know, what I'm finding is it seems that he seems to be a little more flexible with people. You know, because he did send me a while back this thing about the three Abrahamic faiths or whatever. And I did a lengthy response saying, well, I'm sorry, there's some problems here. But anyway, that was however long ago. And, you know, he talked about this Jewish lady friend and some others he's dealing with, that Jewish lady rabbi. you know, so there are a number of things, but I felt encouraged by him because he said about, you know, because one of the things we got into is, you know, I said, well, you know, I look at the scripture, and I got into the Greek, you know, especially reviewed the Sum Parakaleo with him, and it was kind of like, and it was a joy, but that was Friday, and Saturday I worked and so forth, or didn't work. No, Saturday was some great conversations. But Sunday, it was time for a hike. And I hadn't done a hike in over 2 weeks. I mean, that really, really shocked me. But this was a hike and a half, what happened. because... excuse me. I made the comment. I wonder what would happen if suddenly there was a interaction, a contact made in reference to my slavery video. So I went out, you know, and down the driveway. I started, you know, I wrap around to basically my first neighbor who was effectively around the corner. And it was a high. He came to me, I came to him. There was a serious handshake, an embrace. A lot of words were exchanged. The problem was he was speaking Spanish. It's kind of like I have no idea what he was saying. But we had a joyous conversation. Because we've done this many times, but for whatever reason, this one was the deepest ever. I mean, there was a real joyful interaction. Haven't got a fog is what was that. but I mean, it was a really joyful interaction. And that was a great way to start my hike. One of my concerns is after 2 weeks, then starting again, doing a 7 mile hike, I wondered, would there be any impact? Got to, Publix. Got my bananas, you know, very important because I was out. Been out for several days. Horrible thing. And turned around, came back. My speed was great, so everything worked fine. And so the hike went well, except I had another interaction with a neighbor on the way back. And again, pleasant. Not quite the intense but pleasant, some laughs and whatnot. But the conversation was a conversation I don't recall I've ever had. You know, I've talked to people about difficult situations and whatnot, but never about, I can't recall ever talking about someone who has, in this case, it wasn't a daughter, but a niece, who's been abused, has attempted suicide, and wanted to interact with the man. And it was, let's say, 80% of what I've been talking about, let's say. And it was kind of like, what timing? It just, I mean, wow. So I've been wondering, I started wondering, what would happen if somebody said, you know, I have a need. Then I talk with somebody. And it's, like I say, let's say 80% of I have a need. Because the penetrating line really was when he said, you know about these things. How did he know? He hasn't seen my video. But how did he know? And that it was kind of like, you know, it was difficult to reason through. So I asked some friends. And I got one response. Basically, the gentleman said, God has prepared you for this. It's kind of like, I don't feel prepared at all. I really don't feel prepared. I don't feel I have... Well, there's resource issues. There's, you know, I did respond to him, you know, saying the one difference that I feel I have, because the verse that really has sunk into me is Philippians 1. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And, I've seen maturing in me, especially 10 years ago, because of all the events that occurred. I don't feel intimidated at all about a threat to me. I mean, you know, I remember, because, you know, I say jokingly, yes, I've been had a gun pointed at me twice, once by a cop and once by a criminal, but I repeat myself. you know, the time with a cop was fairly quick and simple. And, but anyway, the time with the criminal, you know, I was in a Taco Bell and he came in and robbed the place at gunpoint, including the customers. And I was a customer and, cost me $90 for that entertainment. But the thing that again was, I find fascinating. He took everybody's wallet. But he took my money, not my wallet, because I kept a level head during this interaction. And I wondered why. Why didn't I panic back then? And this was 1981 or so, and Christ was still unknown to me. I was obviously known to him. But now... No, I don't feel any threat. But it's the to live as Christ is what really has become important. So the important thing is, what do I do to reflect Christ well in everything I do, everything I think, everything I feel, and so forth? What do I do to do that? And it's like when I meant the gentleman, the Mexican gentleman, in the joyful relationship, I was striving to reflect Christ. When I, you know, the other thing that got to me, when I got to Publix, one of the cashiers, we talked to each other on first name basis. And you haven't been here in a while. It's kind of like, she knew. It's kind of like, wow. But then the interaction, the other interaction, again, I'm talking to a man who is not a Christian man, and did say, in the context of a conversation, I said, this is what the biblical response would be. And did point out specifically, there's a difference between justice and vengeance. If your motivation is vengeance, you're just as bad as him. And it was kind of like, my motivation is vengeance. So, you know, but see, I was able to put that on the table without being condemning, and I kept the relationship going, which is something I find so very important. So I want to have those relationships, but not deny the truth of Christ. Because again, you know, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So if somebody's after vengeance, you simply can't do that in obedience to Christ. I mean, that's so clear. But anyway, it happened. You know, it didn't happen exactly. But it happened to such a degree, it's kind of like, and then to hear from my friend saying, the Lord prepared you for this. I feel so unprepared. What my encouragement was, is Sunday was kind of a fair day otherwise. I was grateful for the walk. You know, I was really encouraged. Great pace. I came back. I slept well that night. But because I was concerned that after 2 weeks, whether I would have, you know, but I didn't. And so that was an encouragement to me. But, you know, anyway. But one other thing. You know, there's been a conversation. We're doing some dialogue on what it is to judge, specifically in the book of Judges. Again, there is the issue about to judge, as in to discern, to make a choice, to distinguish. And there's the judge where you have the authority to execute somebody, which, you know, I gave the example of Solomon, who made a judgment and had the authority to carry out the judgment, whereas I contend that a judge, specifically as described in the book of Judges, did not have the authority, but would be the one to discern. And from a quick review, it seems that would be true in the case of the Exodus 18 that I reviewed before. But it's something we're reviewing. But we did also review something else, and because it was very applicable in the conversation, and I was really fascinated by this because. One of the things that we got on a number of issues, and one of the things that was kind of a relevant tangent, because there's often the conversation about whether you have free will or God is 100% sovereign. Or, you know, we have no choice, and you know, where we got to is the idea, because where I've matured to the point is. I would suggest the Bible is clear. You're a slave to sin or you're a slave to Christ. There is freedom in Christ, but we're still a slave to Christ. So, you know, the idea of free will, it's free will from our perspective. But God is orchestrating this thing. He isn't constantly saying, oh, what I got to make some corrections, you know, mid-course adjustments here. He doesn't do that. It is we are living out his plan. And, you know, we can trust him. You know, because there's the argument amount, do you have free will to make a choice to follow Christ or is it predetermined? And the idea of predetermined is usually put as, you know, kind of a, try to put the question in a bad light. But in a sense, really, it is predetermined because No one seeks God, not even one, and things of that nature. And there's, discussion today. We talked about how so many people will argue with the free will question where we see the word predestination, for example, in Ephesians and places like that. But John 6 is just blatant. No one comes to the Father unless the Father draws him. And if the Father draws him, he will never let you go. So it's we can't get there because we're a slave to sin. But if he calls us out of his grace, he's not going to let us go. He's got us firmly. And it's not our greatness, our wisdom and whatnot. It's his grasp of us. But, the easy thing, the John 3:16, which is, I have my freedom to choose this stuff. No, you don't. Because that's been through that one. But the one we talked about in depth today, is Deuteronomy 30. The thing from Genesis Apologetics, they quoted this at the end, the John and Jane one. John and Jane. I love my Jane. But anyway. In the ESV, Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live. Loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and to Jacob to give them. And so you look at that and you say, right there, we have a choice to follow Christ or, go. That's not what it says. And it's kind of like, ow. And you can see this really well in the LSV, and there's so much more to it. I have caused the heavens and the earth to testify against you today. I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the reviling, and you have fixed on life so that you live, you and your seed, to love your God, Yahweh, to listen to his voice, to cleave to him, for he is your life and length of your days, to dwell on the ground which Yahweh has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. And it's kind of like, oh, that's different. the important thing, the idea, where we have the idea of, to choose, the Greek version of it, elegomai, which actually I've reviewed, previously, or eklegomai. Ek, out. The definition of the word, to pick out, to choose, to pick or to choose for oneself. That seems like, oh, it's our choice. It is legomai, to speak. So to out speak. And I suggest where we get the idea of choice is we say that one, please. And so we get the idea of choice there. But the LSV translation, and you have fixed on life. That please, but I have fixed on that. It's not that I chose that in the sense that, well, do I want to go and go to this terrible place or go to this nice place? And I have a choice. No, I have fixed on life. I have spoken out that way. Why did I do that? Because of the grace of God and His hold on me. It is not because, oh, I look, that's a good way, that's a bad way. Not at all. Not at all. It's God's grace who gave that to me, and I have caused the heavens and earth to testify against you today, that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the reviling. So He has set that in front of us. And you have fixed on life. It's a done deal. It's not because we did it on our own volition. You have fixed on life so that you live, you in your seat. And it's kind of like, that's a different way to look at it. And then, to love your God, Yahweh, to listen to His voice, and to cleave to Him. You know, to hold on to Him. For He is your life and length of your days. It's one of the things we've been talking about, how our bond, our life is in Christ. Because we keep, our Chris especially keeps mentioning the Acts passage. In Him we live and move and have our being, is what he keeps quoting. But the NASB is, in Him we live and move and exist, because it is exist. For He is your life and length of days. Our life, our length of days. In Him we live our life. And our length of days, our movements stop when He says, you're 70, whatever your particular version of that will be. When that's done, that's done. No one, there's nothing we can say or do to add to or take from the length of days that he has said. To dwell on the ground which Yahweh has sworn to your fathers, Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. I found that delightful. I found that fascinating. It was a joy to interact on that. And that was a joy. For me today, I had probably one of the most productive days writing software that I've had in weeks. And I'm pleased about that. I had a bug that was causing when I upload my latest version, it would end up in an endless loop, and there was a whole bunch of other things I wanted to clean up. And so I went and cleaned all those things up, and there was one thing, it's still there. Oh, okay, this is... And that apparently, hopefully that's gone. And if I look to see at the one server that's it seems to be bringing okay right now. Well, great. It's not. So I still have a bug. Anyway, my concern is, I set out the question, what happens if somebody asks? And then it happened. Again, not exactly, but so close it's ridiculous. For somebody to say to you, you know about these things. And then for another gentleman to say, God has prepared you for this. And it's kind of like, well, I'm going to get my response. I hate being alone doing this. I hate being alone. One of my joys is the dialogue today, and that we, Deuteronomy 30 and a few other things, It's not because we're 100% on the same page, but we interact. I'm not seeing it that way. What's the difference? Why? What? And sometimes he adjusts, sometimes I adjust. Because our objective is not to say, I want to get my way, but what does the Lord say? And the interaction is kind of like, oh. And, you know, one of the things that really helps is it's so much easier today to say, oh, well, I had that wrong than it used to be. You know, may I suggest parties that would do this have it wrong? Parties that would do this have it right. My lady, my wife. Again, you know, you married a guy who was a relatively immature follower of Christ, but he was a follower of Christ and very much a pro-life activist. I'm a lot stronger today. I don't have a BMW anymore. I don't have a car anymore. I've joined the Lord. You want to celebrate the joy with me? You promised. I love you and I want you back.